Right, are we ready? Oh dear, I can't lose my voice. Can I just remind the elders that there is a meeting on Monday, this Monday, at 7 o'clock at Jean's house. Thank you very much. Over to you, Richard.
Good morning.
Jilly wasn't sure if she was even going to be able to speak, so.
But I am. obviously, I'm much better than last Sunday, but I didn't want to kind of bring anything to you. So I think if I stand back here, we should be all right. I've just been thinking about how we just need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and the truth, and we should be safe then. We need that guidance from the Lord all the time, don't we, as we serve him. So we're going to start with "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah," and then we're going to follow with "O Jesus, I have promised." Now, last time there's about three versions of "O Jesus, I have promised," and we're all slightly different ages and know different ones. So we decided this time, because people didn't seem to know the one last time, we're going to go for the more modern one. But it isn't that modern, because Rachel and I did it in assembly at school in the 60s. So
and I in the 70s.
And you in the 70s. It's still the same version. So we're going to give that one a go this time. And it sounds like a Salvation Army band in the background, so that's quite fun. Let's just pray before we start. Lord, it's so good to be here. It's so good to be able to come and worship you with brothers and sisters as one family, Lord. And we do want to fix our eyes on you and your truth, Jesus. So, Lord, be in our time together now. Help us to listen to what you have to say to us today. So thank you, Jesus, for this precious time to come and praise and worship you. Amen.
Amen.
Strength and Oh Jesus, I have brought it to serve thee to the end. My master and my friend shall not in the battle.
Now may we come to our wonderful Lord in prayer. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for the power of prayer. and for the privilege that it gives to us. For we are able to come to you at any time, and you are always ready to hear our prayer. May we desire, Lord, to use prayer to strengthen our relationship with you, both as a church and as individuals. We bring to you our ministry. May we always seek to accept your leadership. And we thank you because you are our rock, you are our strength, you are our wisdom. You are our guide. You are a God of love. In fact, of your love, there is no equal. We pray that your presence and your love will reach all people, leaders, teachers, healers, carers, and all people worldwide. May they, Lord, be encouraged to listen to you, to learn all about your redeeming love. May we do all that we can to bring people to you so that your kingdom will be extended and all the world will be filled with your love and peace. Finally, we bring to you those of our wider family who need special care at this time. We think of David. We think of April. We think of Stuart. We think of John and Margaret. And Lord, we've had a special appeal for prayer for a gentleman called Rob, who says he is lonely and has no social life of his own. Be with him, Lord. May he accept the invitation we've given to come here and join us. Lord, bless us in our ministry. Open many new doors so that we might be where you want us to be, and doing what you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So we're going to sing one of our favourites, All to Jesus, I Surrender. All to him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence, daily live. And help us to sing.
Bring the volume down.
What of the backing?
The backing, because the three gold fighter backing is something different at the heart.
Okay.
I surrender.
Thank you, Jean.
The Bible reading this morning is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain food, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godlessness and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For
for physical teaming, which has some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labour and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the saviour of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers.
So as we follow that reading, we say to the Lord, what is on your heart? Show me what to do. Let me know your will, and I will follow you. So we're going to sing, I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation.
I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. I want to live my life. Tell me what to do.
The title of the message, Let Us Have a Good and Successful Ministry. Yesterday afternoon, I was sitting outside in the sun, and I thought, oh, I'm going to write my sayings. You know, I am. And I started. I am a follower of Jesus. I am a kind person. I am spirit-filled. I am a teacher of the truth. I am a servant of God. My friend, it's nothing about I am. It's all about God. And if our ministry is going to be a success, then it has to be all about God. I've got for you as a text, one that part of it you probably will remember is very, very special to me. But it comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. In the presence of God, and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. And what happens now is what I was given by the man who baptized me and accepted me into membership. This is what he said. I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. When I read those words, I thought, my goodness, the man's gone mad. Fancy giving that to me. But the text goes on. For the time will come when people will be put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. As I said, when I read the charge, I thought, crumbs. As much as I admire our pastor, he's gone mad. He doesn't even know me. That was in 1960. My first church, 1977. Had God made a mistake? Some people may have thought so. But you know, we all have to be prepared when God calls us to do anything. We need to be prepared. And I had years of working with children and then with young people. Now and again, I was asked to speak at the young people's rally. But didn't have a church, didn't preach. So what was happening? Well, unknown to me, God was truly in charge of my life. And he was putting me through a load of preparation, which he must have known was necessary. Because he had to take me from thinking that my pastor was mad and prepare me all the way through to become what he said I was to do, to obey the very charge. You know, I've looked back. I was at our pastor's funeral in Wales many years later. And as I sat there, I thought, I wonder whether he knows I thought he was mad. Bless his heart. But I'm going to suggest that to have a good and successful ministry, first of all, we've got to realize that it is not about us. You can forget the I am. It's all about God. It must be. So we're going to take Paul's advice to Timothy as our guide this morning, as our guide to ministry. Ministry is not performed just by the minister, but by the minister and people together as a team. That is essential. 3 points for you. 1:1-6 of 1 Timothy 4 that Jean read. A sound ministry, sharing the truth. 2, and we'll look at these properly in a minute. There needs to be a sincere ministry, not just sharing the truth, but showing the truth. 7-12. And 13-16, there needs to be a scholarly ministry. In other words, studying the truth. So let's have the first one then. First, there needs to be a sound ministry where we are sharing the truth. Paul in Acts 20 had warned the Ephesian leaders that false teachers would invade the church. And now as he's done that, they have arrived and Paul tells us how we should recognize them. A, he says, Satan uses, listen to this, Satan uses professing Christians to deceive others. Thus led by Satan, they of course become false teachers. And you know, the first test of any religious doctrine is what it says, surely, about Jesus Christ. If it's not about Jesus, then surely we need to be careful. What else was happening? Well, these false prophets were leading people astray. And you know, when that starts, it works very quickly. Satan is very deceiving. People can think they're on the right road, but they're not. They are people who deny God's word. God's word. If this is not our handbook, then, oh dear, we are in trouble. Now, I had some very unfortunate incidents in my ministry, some of them very early in that ministry. But I came across one minister who said, what I do in this church is up to me. I'm not having church meetings. I'm not coming to the members and ask them if I can do something with the church finances. I'm going to do it myself. And this was a church that wasn't my church, but a church that I was acting as moderator. And I had on behalf of that church to call a meeting, to invite this man and his wife to it. And we went through what was right and what was wrong. And at the end, the church voted that the man's ministry should be terminated immediately. We had another man who said, well, I don't understand some of the things that the church is teaching. I said, what's the problem? He said, well, he said, they're letting women into the leadership. I looked at him. I couldn't believe what I've heard. You know, the church today, look at the ministry of women through the ages. It's been tremendous. God uses men and women in his service. And then it got worse. This man not only said, I don't believe in women being in leadership, he said also, you do realize, don't you, that the Holy Spirit is not given to people today. That was a gift to the apostles long ago. There is no Holy Spirit for us today. Again, well, I don't know what he was talking about, but this I know, that I could not have accepted that charge if the Holy Spirit hadn't taken charge of me. Of course, the Holy Spirit works in our lives today. And sometimes the Holy Spirit teaches us things that we really need to learn. So there we are. But what I would say to you is this. The last one that I spoke about, ladies and the Holy Spirit, is still working in one of our London churches. Isn't it sad? This is what is going to divide churches. So we must make sure that we do not become like any one of what I would call false prophets. Let me now the second one, a sincere ministry, verses 7 to 12. This is showing the truth. Reject the false teaching because it has no basis in Scripture. It is the kind of teaching that silly people would discuss. It's good to be healthy, but even more important, if we are in the ministry, we must be spiritually fit. There must be holiness. There must be godliness. Verse 12 says, set an example. We're to set an example in speech, in honesty, and in loving. People have got to see that we are truly followers of Jesus, that we live lives like him, that we seek to be all that God in Scripture requires of us. And also, not only do we need to be sincere in our speech, we need to be sincere in life. Our lives need to be controlled by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. You know, friends, do not just mark the word of God as some people do in their Bibles. Nothing wrong with that. But don't just mark the word. What we've got to do is live it. Live the word of God. Another thing is, in our life, our motivation, what is it? It must not be to gain praise, but it must be because we love God and his people, and we put God first in every way. And then in faith, what is our faith like? We've got to trust God, and we've got to be faithful to him. I just say this to you and to me. Be careful that it is not ourselves that we love. You know, you can think, oh, well, I've done well. Oh, that's good. No. It is God that we love. Be careful we do not love ourselves. Then we need to be pure. Clean hands, clean mind, clean heart. In other words, our witness must be good, sincere, and true. And finally, we come to number 3, the scholarly ministry, verses 13 to 16, which is studying the truth. We need to study so that everyone may see our progress. Because let's be honest, folks, no one can lead where they themselves have not been. Those who are not growing in faith surely are actually going backwards. Verse 13 says, devote yourselves. In other words, read, explain, and apply the truth. You see, we must be students of the word of God before we can teach it to others. And we need to remember that it's not our work. It's God's work. It's God's work, not our own. And then verse 14, it says, use your spiritual gifts. Now, when we first come to the Lord as a believer, we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. The Spirit comes in a new way, entering the life of every true believer. But also, everyone has a gift of the Spirit, at least one, when God calls us into his service. And that gift is given for God's glory, not for us to boast about. We receive the Spirit at conversion, yes, but when we are ordained into a special task, God gives us a special gift for that particular task. Oh, took me a long time to know that, didn't it? I had the Spirit working in me 1960 from then on, 1977. Before I had another gift of the Spirit, which took me into a church and from then on many, many years in ministry. It wasn't all about me, it was all about God. And that's what we've got to get into our minds. Verses 15 and 16, we are called and we are equipped. So we are to give ourselves wholly and take stock of our own work. It's suggested that we don't get over busy so that we neglect our walk with God. Because if we're not walking closely with God, how can we be part of a successful ministry? Our ministry must be sound, it must be sincere, and it must be when we study before we preach. And so, can I finish with these words? May pastor, leadership, and people work together as a team. May we work harmoniously, side by side. May we witness enthusiastically our faith. May we worship and serve only the Lord. Then I know, yes, I know, He will bless us and use our ministry here to accomplish much. It's no chance that we're meeting as a church. This was God's purpose. It wasn't how I thought He might do it, but, you know, God has His way, and we must always follow God's way. There is no I am, but there is a wonderful God who loves us and wants us to be His followers, His ambassadors, His all. Amen.
Can I just add to that, Bruce? I'm sitting here thinking, no, I'll just keep quiet. During this week, two verses that really jumped out to me were, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. And I think I've tended to put the two together. Okay, as long as you did those two, that's fine. But what the Lord showed me this week was the first one, love the Lord my God, is the first and greatest commandment. And so actually we need to definitely do that bit first, as Bruce was saying. It's all about Him. So it's coming to Him and hearing from Him, and then we're equipped to go out, which is really what Bruce was saying. But I wanted to encourage him that that's what I got this week. And so, you know, I've been in that place before, and I think I've just got to slow down, listen to the Lord. But it was that, the real bit that stuck out was first and greatest. And so we need to look to Him first and hear what He's saying in our hearts. And then we're going to know the word to take out. So thank you, Bruce. We're going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. I just noticed my name next to it, Bruce. I changed a few of the words. I probably got done for plagiarism or something. But I wanted to pick up on the scriptures Bruce had chosen. So I added in, I'll be your witness to love and pureness. I'll speak your truth now with faith inside me. So it's somebody else's song. I don't know whose. No, we don't know who. Public domain, apparently, whoever they are. But it's a great song, and it's lovely when you can just put your own words in. So I'm actually not going to be singing this one because I'm going to attempt the ukulele, but we'll see if it's in tune. Oh, yeah, I was going to do that one too. Okay. There will be another song, but I'll do a different intro. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
My desire to follow Jesus.
Right. So, men of faith, hands up if you know this one. Okay, not too many. I wanted to do it before, you know, you hold back because, oh, it's another new song. But it was the only new song today, I think. But it just, again, you know, when I read the scriptures, I thought it just, you know, it's talking about men going out. It's talking about women going out. We go out as individuals, but we also go out as the church corporately. And I just love the chorus, shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. I might get in trouble. Jesus is Saviour of all, Lord of heaven and earth. And we don't want to hold back on that. So it is a great song written by Martin Smith. Sorry. Yeah.
Of faith, rise up and sing of the praise and glorious King. God strong and you will be in the brokenness of thee. Now, north and the south, sing to the east and the west, sing to the south. In all the truth, I have seen to talk and thought, to tempt of the deep bow, of our glorious King of the Lord. Now you do the north and the south, sing to the east and the west, sing. Thank you.
Lord, we bow before you. We offer our lives afresh in your service. And we pray, Lord, that the ministry that comes from this fellowship will be the ministry that you lead. It will be the ministry that's all about you. And it will be all for your glory. Amen. You know that we support the Evangelical Alliance. This idea booklet would tell you more about their work. And we have, Stephen gave us the New Testament Psalms and Proverbs in little book you might like to give to someone. There's three of them there that are spare. Please take them if you want them. Let us now all join together to say the grace.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God,
and the fellowship
of the Holy Spirit
be with
the soul
of all.
Amen.
Oh, that's a beauty. Thank you.
Oh, very good.